You are listening to KHUHLP 104.9 FM. The
Seattle.
Views expressed on the following program are the views of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station, their management, their donors, their underwriters, nor their seventh-born sons.
If you want to know what's really going on, as opposed to what the Wall Street media machine wants you to think is going on, then you're in the right place. You are listening to the Thunderbolt on KHUHLP 104.9 FM, Seattle, Washington. This is the voice of the revolution. Listen at your own risk.
All right. It is the fifth Friday of the month, meaning it's time for the Thunderbolt's greatest strikes. So, let's say we get to it here. And now, we have a cautionary tale from Obama's war on the whistleblowers. This is the story of Barrett Brown.
Hey, mama said the way you move gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
Mr. Brown is a member of Anonymous, and as such, he was involved in the breaching of the computers of some private security contractors and discovered lots of the usual nastiness that those people seem invariably to be involved in.
Oh, I like the way you shake that thing. Watch honey drip, I can't keep away.
Acting as a spokesperson for Anonymous, Mr. Brown granted an interview to Michael Isikoff of NBC News during this period. Mr. Isikoff asked, "Aren't you worried you're going to get prosecuted?"
The nerves of shy are burning red. The dreams of you all through my head.
Barrett Brown said, "I'm not worried about it, but I'm going to get prosecuted at some point, yes." Michael Isikoff, "Because you're involved in hacking activity." Barrett Brown, "Because they can do whatever they want to anyone they want." "But you're not worried?" asked Mr. Isikoff. Barrett Brown answered, "No, because again, like I said, I am well protected right now. I have got lots of lawyers, I've got lots of higher up people, I've got people to talk to who will support us. And if they come after me, they're going to find that they're not going to like everything that they see." Oh, dude, that is so wrong. What is truly amazing is that right before he showed his incredible ignorance, he frigging nailed it. He said, "Because they can do whatever they want to anyone they want."
Charlie knows that I found out what people mean by down and out.
Right, you got it. They can indeed do whatever they want to anyone they want. The feds are completely off the hook. All they've got to do is call you a terrorist or accuse you of breaching national security.
I don't know, but I've been told that a city living woman ain't got no soul.
Because then they don't need no stinking search warrants, and they don't need no stinking probable cause, and they don't need no stinking due process, and they don't need no stinking constitution. They will frame you. They will lie to you. They will terrorize your friends, family, neighbors, and co-workers. They will threaten custody of your children, and they will seize everything you own. They also have the ability to blackmail snitches with 20-year prison sentences if they don't say whatever the prosecutor wants to hear. And the snitches tend to fall all over each other trying to do just that before someone else tells them first. And the feds can send you to prison for decades with the word of these snitches alone without any other evidence of any kind. And I can tell you this from firsthand experience, because they did it to me twice.
The cream on the pie and up to the sky. I'm on the court to slide some.
I cannot believe that someone as smart and as knowledgeable as Barrett Brown could be so clueless about all of this. Believe me, Mr. Brown, your stinking lawyers, your stinking higher-up people cannot do doodly squat, because the rules don't matter anymore.
What do you call that, a double meaning or something? I don't like that kind of talk around here, but...
No man, no big team.
There's women and children. I believe Priscilla is here, Ed, and I believe that Lisa Marie is here, Ed.
I'm sorry, Tainted Man.
You ain't a nothing but a black dog.
Barrett Brown has now been in federal custody for over 300 days, and he is facing over 100 years in prison. As is almost always the case, the information Mr. Brown shared was classified to cover up criminal activity and embarrassment rather than to protect national security.
Someone needs to muzzle that dog, man.
Yes, kids, we have fallen through a truly twisted looking glass. Under Barack Obama, it is no longer a crime to actually commit a crime, but it is a crime to report a crime. Barack Obama has claimed authority to execute and imprison people without a trial. That is the very definition of an authoritarian police state. Barack Obama has mass murdered at least scores and probably hundreds of women and children with his drone strikes and with his night raids. That is the very definition of a war crime. And Barack Obama's White House is completely dominated by Goldman Sachs apparatchiks. And the merger of corporate and state interests is the very definition of fascism. Thus, we have lots of moral, good, upstanding, intelligent, and knowledgeable people who are supporting a mass-murdering fascist war criminal. And that is the looking glass we have now fallen through, kids.
1956.
I am at a complete loss about what to do with the Obama bots. Most of our natural allies are supporting Obama. At first I said, let him prove he's a fascist, and then everybody will see he's a fascist and they'll quit supporting him. That has not happened. Instead, he has proven he's a fascist and everybody is still supporting him. Look to the Egyptians. Unlike the Americans, who are sleeping as their country is converted into a police state, the Egyptians just ousted the second leader in the last few years. This time because he was a theocrat, which in many ways is even worse than a fascist. So I consider this Edward Snowden situation to be a litmus test. Do you support Mr. Snowden or do you condemn him? Are you working for the people or are you working for the machine? It turns out that nearly every leftist pundit on the TV machine have proven their true colors by condemning Mr. Snowden, including and especially Ed Schultz and Melissa Lacewell Harris. If they're on network or cable TV, then they work for the machine, kids. Naomi Wolf also revealed herself as a possible agent of the machine. And I don't say this definitively, because her article trashing Snowden was speculative, but in other ways, it was even worse than outright condemnation. So anyway, there was an article published by a gentleman named Dave Lindorf, L-I-N-D-O-R-F-F,
And I'm not familiar with him, but he's accusing Naomi Wolf of being irresponsible for writing this article.
I admire this Ahab character.
And
first of all,
he might... Basically, what her article said was that Edward Snowden might be a government disinformation agent, even though she provides not one shred of evidence to back this assertion. Just some speculation. She raises a few points that might raise some eyebrows and open the floor for some legitimate questions, but that's not what Ms. Wolf did. Rather than asking the question, is he this, Ms. Wolf instead seemed to be saying, I think that he is this. And for someone with the credibility and weight that Naomi Wolf carries, that is an alarming step for her to take and could raise some questions about her. And I will henceforward view Ms. Wolf's work with great speculation.
Media Machine recently reported that a computer had passed the Turing test, meaning that 33% of people could not differentiate between the computer and an actual human during online chats. All of the Media Machine suspects previously reported this as fact. The fact that the breakthrough came on Turing's birthday made the story all the more poignant for those with human sensibilities. But it turns out the test was rigged, and the evidence was completely bogus. So instead of a computer passing the Turing test, the media machine instead flunked their own Turing test. They could not differentiate between a real story and a fake story. And now it is time for a brand new Thunderbolt feature I'm calling Heartbreaker. So listeners should be aware that I'm going to hurl some heavy-duty thunderbolts now. And if you are the type who gets upset by heavy thunder and lightning, you may want to take this opportunity to switch radio stations.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. It's down at the end of Lonely Street. That's a heartbreak hotel. I'm feeling so lonely, baby. I'm feeling so lonely. I'm feeling so lonely, baby. I could die.
So the first heartbreaker is a place called Nuba.
The bellboy's always crying. The ladies dressed in black. They've been so long on Lonely Street. They'll never, never, never come back. I've been so lonely, baby. I've been so lonely.
The Sudanese government is trying to root out some insurgents in some mountains.
I could die.
They have adopted the same policies that employed by the American forces in Vietnam.
Well, I don't care what those people say. I know where that jive is at. But one thing I do have on my mind, and it terrifies me too.
Or making sure that you kill all of your enemies by simply killing everyone who happens to be in the area. Yes, the Sudanese government is conducting a massive bombing campaign upon these mountains that is aimed at anyone and everyone who happens to be there. This has created a massive human rights crisis. But since, once again, the victims are black Africans, and since Sudan is a, quote, friend of the American government, this bombing campaign is being completely ignored by the media machine. The only reason anyone knows anything about it is because it is not being ignored by a Western reporter named Ryan Boyette, B-O-Y-E-T-T-E, who happened to marry a Nubian woman a few years ago and who now happens to live in Nuba. Though he chose to evacuate his own family, he has also chosen to remain on the ground himself so that he can report on the brutal bombing campaign. Go to NubaReports.org. That's N-U-B-A Reports. And learn about yet another massive outrage that is being completely ignored by the media.
Ultimate flat.
And for our next heartbreaker, we have Honduras. Shortly after taking office, Barack Obama emulated his self-declared role model, Ronald Reagan, by overthrowing a popular and democratically elected government.
So if your baby leaves you, got a tale to tell. Just take a walk down Lonely Street to a heartbreak hotel.
He replaced this government with a bunch of right-wing, mass-murdering School of the Americas butchers.
I bet they're so lonely, babe. I bet they're so lonely. I could die.
Then, Obama further emulated Reagan by lying to us about it. With American taxpayer support, the Obama-backed coup has transformed Honduras into the murder capital of the world. And one of the most dangerous countries in the world for journalists, environmentalists, and union organizers. Now, for our next heartbreaker, we have Iraq. This last week, I made a joke about how no situation is ever so bad that it can't be made even worse by American military intervention.
Once I had a little girl.
Events have since proved a classic case in point.
Sometimes I think about her.
Saddam Hussein originally worked for the Americans.
Not really dead.
He had no problem at all torturing and murdering any and all political opposition.
When memories do call,
he had no problem with killing millions in a thoroughly savage multi-year war. And then he used chemical weapons that he purchased through the CIA against his own people. That said, under Mr. Hussein, as long as you avoided politics, the average Iraqi enjoyed one of the highest standards of living in the Middle East. Iraq was a wealthy and vibrant country with top-notch educational opportunities and with near equal rights for women. Iraqi scholars are right up there with the best of them. And the social services and the healthcare were most excellent. But then, Saddam pissed off his American sponsors and they turned on him. George Bush literally lied us into an illegal war in the face of the largest protests in all human history. Whereupon the United States proceeded to spend several hundred billion dollars converting Iraq from a prosperous, industrious nation into a smoking crater. They destroyed the physical and social infrastructures, killed hundreds of thousands, and displaced literally millions. Many of these displaced became homeless refugees in foreign countries. And all of the most educated and resourceful Iraqis who managed to survive and that had the wherewithal to leave Iraq did so. What the Americans left was a completely devastated third world country ripe for looting by the oil companies and by American contractors. And ripe for radical hatred of the West in general and the United States in particular. The titular head of Iraq is an American-backed dictator that everybody who actually lives there hates, even though he belatedly stood up to the Americans and refused to sign the Status of Forces Agreement that gave American soldiers complete legal immunity for any crime they committed upon Iraqis. Before the Americans came along, there were no radical Islamists in Iraq. Saddam Hussein hated them. He actively and successfully persecuted them with great vigor. Now, thanks to the devastation and chaos wrought by the Americans, radical Islamists that I have heard described as making Al-Qaeda seem moderate by comparison, have seized control of northwestern Iraq, and they are seriously threatening Baghdad itself. In addition, the Kurds have seized control of their section of northern Iraq. Obama is helpless. They are so desperate, they are now teaming up with our old buddy Iran to try to stop these Islamist forces. What this means is that after all the money, blood, terror, horror, and devastation we spent on Bush's vile war, the very thing that this war was supposed to prevent, and a thing that hadn't actually been happening in the first place, is now actually happening for real as a result of the American actions. There is the definite possibility that radical American-hating Islamist forces are going to take control of Iraq. American-trained Iraqi forces threw down their weapons and ran away en masse. They left all of their American taxpayer-funded arsenals and all their American-funded weaponry behind. They left all of their banks full of American taxpayer cash behind. This means that your tax dollars just funded and armed this insurrection. And there appears to be absolutely nothing that anyone can do about it. Obama's utter impotence in this situation is equal to both his and George Bush's responsibility for creating it. And while it is maddening in one sense, in yet another sense, his helplessness is rather heartening, as this is yet another indication, along with our stopping of Obama's Syrian madness in its tracks a few months ago, that the war machine is not nearly as omnipotent as it pretends to be. And for our last heartbreaker, we have Africa. Now that the ominous and baleful eye of Mordor, or I mean the eye of the American machine, has fallen upon Africa, and since the war on drugs is becoming so unpopular in Central and South America these days, then the drug warriors have decided to expand the war of drugs into Africa. Yes, the West Africa Cooperative Security Initiative will reportedly bring the same model used in Central America and Mexico to 15 African countries. Evidently because it has been working so well in Central America and Mexico. So I previously warned the Africans they better head to the hills when I heard about the formation of AFRICOM. But now, they better start building bomb shelters and stocking up on non-perishables if the war on drugs is coming to their neighborhood. Now, they not only have their very own American military command, but Africa will also soon be again reaping the profits of America's war on drugs. Now, guns, money, murder, and mayhem will begin contributing to Africa's economy and culture. Now, the CIA will have an in to begin conducting their unique brand of foreign policy by murder, bribery, torture, and coup. On a serious scale and upon African soil. Yippee! How happy for the Africans! It's time to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolt will return in just a moment. I'm a heartbreaker. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of KHUH-FM. Nor anyone that has anything to do with KHUH-FM. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Hang on to your word processors, kids. For I now have what, as far as I know, is a Thunderbolt exclusive that exposes a shocking secret which is possibly buried deep in the bowels of your very own personal computer.
This is a man! Well, this is a man! Well, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
You know, a writer develops a relationship with his, her, or its word processor.
This is a man's world.
I typed the Thunderbolt on Microsoft Word.
This is a man's world.
I have typed several novels on Microsoft Word.
But it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Now, since I often make up words and since I often intentionally use grammatical errors for various artistic effects, then Microsoft Word constantly scolds me for perceived violations of some largely arbitrary rule or another. Alas. I'm even misunderstood by my own computer program. You would think that after all these years, Microsoft Word would get tired of its never-ceasing bitching and harping about every little thing. But Microsoft Word carries on undaunted and unbowed through all the vicissitudes of my problematic linguistic gymnastics.
This is a man! 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 But it wouldn't be nothing! Nothing! Without a woman or a girl!
Microsoft Word did just teach me how to spell vicissitudes, though, so it's not all bad. So I hope you're sitting down.
Man thinks about a little bit of baby girl.
As everyone with at least a third grade education knows,
baby boy.
It is common practice in English to capitalize he.
Man make them happy.
When referring to their God.
Because man make them toys.
Microsoft Word has no problem with that.
But after man make everything,
However, here is where I discovered the shocking secret.
Do you know that man makes money?
When I try to capitalize she, then Microsoft Word places one of those little green squiggles from hell under the word.
Man, but it won't be nothing, without a woman or a girl.
Now, for those of you as yet unfamiliar with the 21st century, this green squiggle is the subtle yet demonic method that Microsoft Word uses to manipulate and control you by using mockery to instill a profound sense of innate guilt about the errors of your syntactic ways. It's a vile conspiracy, I tell you.
You got to have a woman now.
But I wonder again.
Man!
If you investigate Microsoft Word's allegation that you are in error by capitalizing she, then Microsoft Word will tell you,
but a woman makes a better man.
That according to the rules of English, as interpreted by Microsoft Word,
so baby, don't worry.
You are allowed to capitalize he.
Don't worry.
But you are not allowed to capitalize she.
Don't worry about the peeling falling from the ceiling.
So in addition to being dense, overly bitchy, unimaginative, and unappreciative of my art, Microsoft Word is also a sexist. All of this from some soulless, sexless thing that exists nowhere except in some electronic circuitry in my computer, and thus also in some NSA data bank. We need to call out the feminazis.
Baby, don't worry.
All right, that's the other side. However, my don't loyal listeners need never fear. Your brave reporter intends to stand proud and defiant in the mace of Microsoft Word's derision and attacks upon my linguistic character. I will stand like a rock in the face of that invitable torrent of disparaging little colored squiggles blanketing my computer screen.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I will ignore the persistent contumely of Microsoft Word as I bravely go where no hack writer has gone before.
The man!
Yes, kids, on my word, I now publicly swear to you, my theoretical listeners, in spite of Microsoft Word's ridicule and disdain, I fully intend to continue capitalizing she anytime that I damn well please. Do I hear yeah?
He's lying!
Yeah, Microsoft Word could just take its little green squiggles and stick them into one of those crannies inside a computer.
The man
where the sun don't shine.
The man that don't have a woman.
Do I hear yeah?
He's lost! And bitterness. The man!
And Microsoft Word just scolded me again.
Man that don't have
evidently,
woman.
I should have just said to either stick it where the sun doesn't shine.
The man!
Or to stick it.
The man that don't have a woman.
Where the suns don't shine.
He's lying!
I knew that. I was just goading Microsoft Word again. My apologies if I upset anyone. Let us now contemplate the musings of Dylan Thomas. Though they go mad, they shall be sane. Though they sink through the sea, they shall rise again. Though lovers be lost, love shall not. And death shall have no dominion. And now, my loyal listeners, it's time for a brand new Thunderbolt feature that I am calling War and Circus.
Oh, yeah!
Actually, I really, really, really hate it really, really a lot when something like the Ukraine crisis happens. Really.
I spent 10 years on my life.
There is nothing else on the frigging news except this farcical, manufactured passion play that is being ginned up like a choreographed Broadway show. When I try to enter news gathering mode, I find myself constantly having to change sites or stations because I have absolutely no interest in listening to or reading about any BS concerning the Ukraine crisis. Breathless solemnity, the talking heads on the TV machine will predictably report on what he said, what she said, and what they said.
Susan and her brother, Charles the Green Boy.
People will likely learn a few things about the Ukraine they did not know.
In the back seat, and they took the full ride.
Otherwise, the media machine
the radio was on.
Says absolutely nothing
locomotion.
That is in any way enlightening.
Kingdoms of the radio.
Or even anything that is truly relevant.
Too much revolution, then.
Each night,
Russia did something that would be business as usual if the Americans were doing it. But since Russia did it, then Putin has suddenly become the latest evil threat to civilization that we must arm ourselves to the teeth to defend ourselves against.
It will be time.
Yes, it's time for Obama and Putin to face each other and engage in the ancient ritual of wagging of the penis as everyone in the United States and Russia gets all hot with the foreplay. Yes, Putin is now a national hero in Russia for standing up to the great American bully. Being on Obama's sanction list has become a status symbol of which Russian officials boast. And being on Russia's sanction list has become a status symbol of which American officials boast. Here in the US of A, every news outlet right and left and nearly every politician, Democratic and Republican, are donning their codpieces and tights and getting ready once again to bravely send other mothers' sons into danger.
In Times Square now, people do the poker.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
This New Year's Eve was the final barrier.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
We took you up and we put you in the backseat.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
From year to year we looked up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
Dominance.
Here is the official Thunderbolt take on the Ukraine crisis.
Dominance.
When we rose up in mass and prevented Obama's Syrian madness.
Dominance.
The war machine was taken aback.
Submission.
For a minute.
Dominance.
Typically, this did not last long.
Submission.
Dominance.
They have simply dusted off and resurrected a tried and true bogeyman from the past to instill new terror into the hearts of Americans so as to justify spending lots and lots of money on guns and bombs and terror and death.
Dominance.
Which is by far our largest and our most profitable export these days.
Submission.
Now we must support the Ukrainian people's freedom.
Submission.
They bravely used Western cash to rise up and overthrow a democratically elected government. And then installed an unelected interim government that consists of Western puppets. And then, with amazing speed and alacrity, the unelected government signed the trade agreement with the EU that was the cause of this whole revolution to begin with. Wow!
What a happy coincidence for the Western powers. Evidently, signing this agreement just could not wait for a few months until another democratically elected government could be seated, and or until there was some education and debate about the costs and benefits of this agreement to the people of the Ukraine. According to the media machine, though, with the signing of this agreement, the Ukraine has now been saved. They have narrowly escaped the financial chains in which the arch-evil Putin wished to enslave them. But now, they are going to be wrapped into the cold steel embrace of the International Monetary Fund instead. How happy for the Ukraine! Yippee! Those bad boys at the IMF is going to lay some austerity love on the Ukraine's ass now. And I'm thinking after a dose of that infamous IMF austerity fire, then memories of that old Russian frying pan may soon begin to grow fonder in the eyes of some Ukrainians.
And on that note, we're going to end the news and commentary section this week. Keep in mind that everything you just listened to was recorded back in 2013. And while some of the details were dated, I think that the overall themes were all still totally relevant, which is kind of scary when you think about it. Anyway, normally I fill out the rest of the hour with some music, but I have just learned that Hamid Karzai, who is the ex-president of Afghanistan, along with his drug-dealing brother Ahmed, are now talk show hosts on public radio. Let's check it out.
From Afghanistan Public Radio, proud to be influenced by the advertisers on our podcasts.
From the abandoned American television truck in downtown Kabul, city of 1,000 checkpoints, I'm Mahmoud.
And I'm Hamid. We're Slick and Slack, the Screw It Brothers. Welcome to Karzai Talk. Today's program comes to you with the aid of the Shave the Whales Foundation, reminding you that nothing says I love you like whale whiskers.
Is that one of our new underwriters?
Either that or a joke by one of our old writers.
So, my brother, It's fighting season again, and we're fighting again.
The calendar doesn't lie. But this year, my brother, The Taliban have returned to the fight with much greater urgency.
Yes, it's as though they spent the winter drinking the Afghan energy drink.
Mm-hmm. You must mean Gatorade.
Gatorade.
Hello, you're on Karzai Talk.
Hi, I'm Josh Fleck, longtime public relations consultant, first-time caller.
Well, caller, I must say it's an interesting coincidence that your name so cogently describes your long-time occupation.
Well, thank you, sir, but it's actually no coincidence.
No?
No, when I started this company, it seemed a no-brainer to change my name to fit the business.
Oh, what was your original name?
Josh Fleck.
You know, when people ask why so many Afghans don't have surnames, this is why.
But actually, guys, I'm not coming on your show to talk about myself.
Ooh, that makes one of us.
No, I'm calling on behalf of my newest client, the government of Pakistan.
Well, my goodness, sir, normally we have representatives of the government, or perhaps former strongmen of the country calling into our show.
Well, I know, but we're trying to improve relations with our friends back in Washington and with the folks in your country, too. Ooh. We think your listeners are what we like to call influencers in your country, and we think they care a lot about what you fellows think.
Well, if that's what you think, I'd say there's too much thinking going on.
Yes, if we could influence the so-called influencers in our country, my brother would be selling a lot more Corollas.
Well, possibly, but you know, today's Pakistan is in the vanguard of some very exciting changes. It's not your grandfather's Pakistan.
Maybe not, but it's claiming my grandfather's border.
Well, I didn't know your grandfather was English. But seriously, guys, it's time to take another look at Pakistan. It's on the move. It's business friendly.
And it's not nearly as much a center of terrorism as it was before the U.S. drone strike killed a Taliban leader there.
Hey, we're a team. And if you think today's Pakistan is a winner, wait till you see tomorrow's Pakistan.
Josh, what I guess what we find difficult to understand is why your client is taking unilateral steps to fortify the border only after all the Taliban leaders have chased into safe haven in your client.
Hey, Mood, it's hardly a safe haven if the U.S. can send over drones to take folks out. Look, we're all against the bad guys. We just happen to think that cooperation is a two-way street.
Well, that starts with the first step,
which is paving.
But, caller Josh, do you have a question for us? Otherwise, our producer will be demoted to reading funding credits.
Again.
Yes.
Well, sir, I guess what I and all the Pakistani people are wondering right about now is, do you think it's time to take a new look at today's Pakistan?
Well, personally, I think it's time to focus group test a big bunch of new cliches.
Well, thanks for the call. Oh, my goodness. Based on that conversation, I think the only thing our Pakistani brothers could do to make their image worse would be to lose some nukes.
Relax, my brother. They're working on it.
Hello, you're on Cars I Talk.
Hi, this is the presumptive Republican candidate for the U.S. presidency. Mm. I guess you could say I'm a long-time, phenomenally successful businessman. Mm-hmm. Also a first-time caller, although some people say I should be calling rich donors instead of some radio show I never heard of. So, I don't know, maybe that's true, but we should look into it.
Mr. Trump, it's an honor.
And may I say we've watched your campaign with something approaching trepidation.
I appreciate that, but listen, fellas, I've seen some stories about what's going on there. It's been on almost none of the shows, which is a disgrace. Mm. But why are you upset about the gate the Pakistanis are building? You should be so grateful. I'll tell you something. If I was running your country, I wouldn't have waited for the Pakistanis. Mm. I wouldn't have built a gate. Yeah. I would have long time ago built a great, big, beautiful wall.
Well,
you don't want to darn it? Fine with me. No doors. Yeah.
Mr. Trump, I think, and I don't speak for the Afghan government, needless to say,
I think
the reason they've opposed the gate is because the whole country opposes that borderline drawn by the colonizing English.
Well, listen, Crafty Mahmood. I call him Crafty Mahmood. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. Simple as that.
Well, but as many historians can tell you, sir, we had the country of Afghanistan long before the UK tried to give us that border.
Listen, you want to keep letting those Muslims come into your country? I'm sure there's some very good ones. My Muslim friends love me, just to take one example.
Mr. Trump, we are a Muslim country.
And our problem with that border is that the bad guys went across it to be protected by the Pakistanis for reasons of their own.
Yeah, no, I understand all that. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people believe that President Obama has reasons of his own, too, which you can't forget. I mean, I don't know if it's true, but it's out there.
Yes, sir. Any questions for us before we have to make way for a Hindu Kush companion?
Well, look, when I'm president, if you guys are interested, obviously, I can build a great wall. They can have their gate, you can have a wall, and in the meantime, we can figure out this whole Muslim thing.
It didn't sound like a question, more like an offer, but still an honor.
Offer, then honor. It sounds like him.
Thanks for the call. We had help today from the Afghan Humane Society. Pets, they're not just for breakfast anymore.
Legal help for Cars I Talk from the law firm of Ketchum and Newcomb. I'm Mahmood.
He called you Mood.
Word.
And I'm Hamid. Join us again for the next edition of Cars I Talk. This is APR, Afghanistan Public Radio.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
We walk hand in hand, we play in the sand, smell the ocean air, no one ever dare. We walk past the docks, we play on the rocks, no one come around.
one shoot I down. Yesterday I see what amazes me. We collect the shell, something start to smell. A day old, a day old, a day old whale. A day old, a day old, a day old whale. A day old, a day old, a day old whale. A day old, a day old, a day old whale. A day old whale. It is plenty dead, we stand on the head. Birds from out the skies come and peck the eyes. We take all the sand, carry in our hand. No one is about, try to fill this spout.
That was a tune called Day Old Whale from Seattle's own Uncle Bonsai. Before that, we had Words of Unintentional Wisdom from ex-President George W. Bush. And we started off with Car's Eye Talk from Harry Shearer. That's it for this week. Got 6 more minutes for some of you, but for the rest of you, I hope to see you next week. So please keep in mind that the views expressed on the Thunderbolt are those of the show's host and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station or anyone associated with this radio station. The Thunderbolt website is dana98501.wordpress.com. 98501 is the downtown Olympia zip code, if that helps you remember that. And you can contribute to the Thunderbolt cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. Glad you joined us this week. We hope to see you next week. And in the meanwhile...
Thank you very much.